More falls are expected on the local share market this morning as fears rise that the rapid spread of the coronavirus will push Australia and the world into a recession. With the Reserve Bank failing to lift sentiment with its emergency interest rate cut last week, pressure is on the Morrison government now to deliver an effective fiscal stimulus package to keep businesses afloat during this crisis. Our senior business correspondent Cheryl Bagwell is with us. Hi, Cheryl.
Good morning, Fran.
So can we say the risk of recession is now very real?
Well, frankly, more economists are certainly changing their forecast to a recession as this crisis deepens. The fact is, Fran, we're now at a point in this crisis where if we want to limit the spread of COVID-19, we must deliberately restrict economic activity. We're doing that now by imposing travel bans, putting in place quarantines, cancelling business meetings and conferences, even sending workers home. And that means the economy will slow and is slowing. Treasury even concedes the economy will probably retract by 0.7% this quarter when you take into account both the impact of the bushfires and the coronavirus. Now, that's a contraction. Mm. If the crisis continues into the June quarter, which seems likely, it's going to start in just a couple of weeks, then there's a risk of another quarter of negative growth, which equals, of course, a technical recession. Shane Oliver, the chief economist of AMP Capital, had previously thought that this was unlikely, but now he's changed his mind. I spoke with him earlier.
What has changed is that the coronavirus has intensified. It's had a much bigger impact around the world than we were thinking a month or so ago. That's obviously evident in the declines in share markets that we're seeing. Yes, the number of new cases in China has slowed right down. It seems to have come under control there, but it seems to be taking a bigger grip on the rest of the world. That suggests that we could have a double hit to the Aussie economy, obviously a negative March quarter, and of course Treasury seems to be leaning towards the same view with the numbers they put out in the last week, but also a small hit in the June quarter as global demand for our exports declines, and also as the Australian economy goes into a possible partial shutdown.
And what does recession mean for employment? I mean, even if it was a short, sharp recession, how much would unemployment rise?
Well, if we just look at some numbers here, the unemployment rate in Australia is currently 5.3%. If we get, say, a mild downturn in the economy, taking unemployment up to, say, 6%, that would be, roughly speaking, about 100,000 people who would lose their jobs. If alternatively it gets a bit deeper and goes up to 7%, that would be another roughly about 235,000 losing their jobs. So that is the risk, and that, I think, is something the government is clearly focused on. We know there will be a disruption to activity. That will have an impact on businesses. It looks as if the government is quite focused on making sure those businesses stay afloat and therefore they preserve employment and keep paying wages.
That's Shane Oliver there, Fran, of AMP Capital. So as he says, the federal government is now very much focused on those risks as it prepares to unveil its fiscal response later in the week. Scott Morrison certainly doesn't want to be the first Prime Minister in three decades to preside over a recession.
No, but you know, the virus intervenes. Talking about paying wages, casual workers are particularly at risk during times like this, as we heard from the taxi drivers. We've had people write in saying, what about self-employed tradies? They're in the same boat. Should there be measures in the government stimulus package to help cover these people and their wages?
Well, a lot of economists believe there should be. To contain this virus, one of the main things the government and business has to do is ensure that sick workers stay at home. I mean, just like the Turak doctor, we all tend to soldier on in the early stages of a cold or flu when symptoms are mild. But we can't do that with this virus, given it's highly infectious and has a higher death rate, it would appear, than regular flu. So employers need to tell staff not to come to work, even with mild symptoms. But workers will want to know that they won't lose pay, that they can access their paid sick leave. The problem is, though, with the increased casualisation of the workforce, a lot of Australians, actually 3.3 million Australians, according to the ACTU, don't have access to paid sick leave because they're casuals or because they're contract workers, like in the growing gig economy. Now, that's about a quarter of the workforce. But if they don't get paid sick leave, well, we're giving them this terrible choice to either not put food on the table for their families or go to work with a cough, possibly infecting others. The ACT Secretary Sally McManus has said that she wants the government to directly financially support casual workers who don't have access to paid leave to ensure that they aren't, you know, bearing the economic brunt of this coronavirus. Now, that could be done with wage subsidies, maybe giving them access to Newstart, maybe just giving them, you know, just paying them the minimum wage. The unions are meeting with the government tomorrow, Fran, to discuss all of that.
Okay. And the government's meeting probably almost as we speak, Cheryl, to try and work out the fiscal package. How important, obviously it's critical, the government gets a fiscal package right. What's it likely to look like?
Well, it is critical because Australia, we've got this second whammy in that we're going into winter. So the rate cuts didn't steady markets, so now governments have to step up. It's happening all around the world. It's not just Australia. Rolling out fiscal support for businesses in order to stave off any sort of mass retrenchments. In Australia, it's going to be a mixture of wage subsidies, tax holidays, maybe payroll tax, but that's a state responsibility, is a holiday on that, investments, incentives, perhaps to all business, but in particular, those hardest hit by this crisis, like tourism and travel businesses. I mean, there's reports this morning the Flight Centre is asking staff already to cut back on their working hours or take unpaid leave. It also appears the government hasn't ruled out extending the stimulus to households, if reports this morning are any guide. Now,
Well, the Prime Minister's ruled out sending out cheques to dead people, so what might that look like, support for households?
And it might be through the tax system. I mean, as you said, they've long denigrated, you know, the Rudd Labor government, which rolled out $40 billion, mostly to households, to try and stave off a recession in 2008. Yet it would appear the Morrison government is prepared, I mean, they've upped the ante, prepared to spend $10 billion, that's according to The Australian. It's double what they were talking about before, which of course would wipe out the surplus. But maybe that won't even be enough. You know, they might have to come back with more surplus, more stimulus in the May budget. And, you know, let's hope politics doesn't get in the way of the right response to this.
Yeah, certainly you'd think there'd be more than one response rolled out as this rolls out. Just finally and briefly, Cheryl, another volatile day expected then on the share market today,
yes,
do you think?
Yes, the SPY futures contract is down 1.5% this morning after more falls on Wall Street on Friday night. So we're going to fall deeper into correction territory. Our stock market is already down 13.2% from its record highs just 2 weeks ago. Recession fears have seen the oil price tumble. Brent crude suffered its biggest one-day fall on Friday night. So that's going to hit the share market as well this morning, Fran.
Okay, and the dollar?
The dollar is up a little bit over the week, but at the moment it's 66.2 US cents. That's because the US dollar has fallen.
Thanks, Cheryl. Cheryl Bagwell, our senior business correspondent.